Welcome to the Williams Nikon. Why be heard in phone conference line?
Your voice sounds different.
Oh.
Yeah, good to hear you, though. Maybe I just forgot.
Maybe
we missed you.
It's been too long, hasn't it?
Yeah, we missed you. We missed you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I guess we may go ahead and get started. I'm kind of all over the board today, kind of confused and not positive here. I've had my nose in so many different books, and I am so excited because I really believe that we are all on the right track, and I so much appreciate everybody that's on this call that brings so much to the call. And right now, for those of you that are on here, you all know that we're talking quite a little bit about brain health here because, you know, we've only got our one brain, and we've been having some issues. And so that's really kind of been where my mind has been going, and then with, you know, the instance with Matt last week, it's something that we really need to think about a lot. And so why is this happening to us? Well, I just read this latest, or trying to read this latest Dr. Blaylock letter, and I do get pretty overwhelmed by the stuff in here, and it does take me a while to absorb it all. But I do, the things that kind of jumped out at me in here was about our gums and brain inflammation. And I've heard in the past, you know, that certain things that you have done to your teeth can affect your overall health. And, you know, I've heard, and maybe you, and I'm sure you guys have heard it too, where people have had root canals in their mouth. And then when the root canals or those teeth were actually taken out, that there happens to still be the infection down in there, that infection never goes away. I know someone who had open heart surgery, and their doctor said, you know, part of that problem was because of all the root canals in your mouth. Well, he went to the dentist and got that taken care of, and, you know, had those teeth taken. Well, Kathleen Miller had brought, when I started talking about the coconut oil, she brought about this book by Dr. Brian Fife about this coconut oil swish. And I have been doing that ever since that day that she read that to us. And I wrote to Dr. Brian Fife, and he wrote back to me within 30 minutes. And I think most of you, I shared that with you already. But anyway, I told him what was going on with me, and he suggested another book that I get, one of his books, and I haven't gotten it yet, but I dug in there last night, and I looked, and lo and behold, who wrote the foreword for the book but Dr. Blaylock. And so I will be getting that book today. If I can't find it here, well, I may just order it and have it rushed, because I do want to read that whole book. I have noticed a difference while I've been swishing. There's so much bacteria in our mouth. And think about that. Look at how close that is to our brain. And we're talking about, you know, we're this is all about inflammation. This is our whole program. So what I wanted to say here is, dental health also plays, I'm going to read it, plays an important role in brain inflammation, as chronically infected gums act as a stimulus for microglial activation, which also fuels that long word again, meaning hardening of the arteries, atherosclerosis, I guess. I can't pronounce it right. But so that... If we have inflammation, if we have infected gums, then that is also going to contribute to hardening of the arteries. The gum infection not only affects the brain via our blood-borne inflammatory chemicals, the cytokines, but also by chronically stimulating certain cranial nerves, such as this trigeminal nerve. And most people who suffer from dementia have advanced hardening of the arteries in the blood vessels supplying the brain. This robs the brain of its oxygen and glucose, and this triggers even more inflammation and immune exotoxicity, I guess. Okay, so this part I have underlined. Believe it or not, infected gums represent a major stimulus for aggressive atherosclerosis in blood vessels throughout the body. I believe that the coconut oil swish has definitely been helping me. Maybe this is where my problems have come from, because I've had the gum disease in the past. I've had the periodontal surgery. I think I keep my teeth clean, but I do have some root canals in my mouth. I'm going to definitely check into some of that. Okay, Ruth, I wasn't looking at slides. I'm sorry. I think you might have moved some stuff around.
Mary Lou?
Yes.
May I share something? And I think a lot of you may know this, but it goes along with what you're talking about. Our daughter, Cynthia, had a root canal 19 years ago, and she went back to the doctor, kept telling him, you didn't do it. There's still, because she could feel something was wrong. And the bottom line is he simply did not believe her. And she did, that was when she began having grand mal seizures. And the root canal was involved a tooth, I think it was her eye tooth. But anyway, it was an upper tooth that went way up into the jawline. And she now has had continual grand mal seizures for 19 years. So you are talking about something that is critically important. I wish that I and my daughter would have understood this concept. I will not allow a root canal in my mouth. And the dentist, they just give me this sigh, and I say, no, you just pulled the tooth. I do not want a root canal. So I'm glad you're bringing this information to the forefront.
Well, thank you, Karen. I do remember now you sharing that with us. I think it's really, really important. We really have to take care of a body. Okay, Ruth's got this wonderful slide up here. This is me over there with the ponytail. And this is when I was having my skin problem. Here we go. This was an inflammation of fat, you guys. They put me through so many tests. I had CT scans. I had MRIs. I finally was in the hospital, and I did a biopsy of my stomach because these lumps, I had lumps all over my, it started on my trunk, and then it ended up on my arms, and they didn't hurt, but they were very, very unattractive. And so anyway, I ended up, after going doctor, and being referred, and 25 of them, I think, said, oh, I've never seen anything like that. Then I ended up with the biopsy. And when they came back, the biopsy said that it was similar to, the scleroderma, lupus, all these other things, but it said that it was a form of an. It showed that I had an inflammation of fat, my fat level. So, I decided then. The rheumatologist that was shocked that it wasn't what she thought it was. She was going to start me on steroids. But after the biopsy, because I kept saying, no, I don't want to take these. I don't want to take these steroids. We don't even know what it is yet. And so she ordered the biopsy, and She just stared at me when it wasn't what she thought it was. So she called the other doctor in who'd been in practice for 35 or 40 years. And he came in and he took one look at me and looked at my arms, looked at my face. He said, I've never seen anything like that. Well, that was really reassuring to me because that's what every doctor said. So it was a weird deal. But anyway, I said, I'm going to, if this now is an inflammation going on in my body, I'm just going to start eating more alkaline. I can get all kinds of alkaline things off the internet and everything, and I'm just going to change my diet and see if that doesn't help. This is exactly what he said. Oh, I wouldn't do anything so drastic. Let's find out. Let's run some more tests. See if these drugs can't help you. Yada, yada, yada. But I went on the alkaline-based diet. This is a couple of years ago. It was almost just 3 years ago now, and it did not go away overnight, you guys, but it's gone. So we have to be responsible for our own health. Anybody have anything on that?
I have something to say, Mary Lou, about this gums and inflammation. Because we've had some people in our Mekan family who had some of these kind of problems, and they have solved the problem, and it's related to what's over here on another page in this report from Dr. Blaylock, and it's on the left-hand side here. This explains the link between repeated infections, vaccination, and depression in the elderly. Well, not only the elderly. The gut plays its role because in many elderly people, protective bacteria and yeast are out of whack. I like that medicinal term there. Professional neurosurgeon that he is, out of whack, and no longer provide the necessary immune protection. When proper probiotic organisms are supplied to the colon, it helps prevent excessive brain inflammation. And what might we have that does this, and what happened is when we got lactoferrin, there were several people that that talked to me and said, that when they started taking that, they no longer had the brain, the mouth infection, all of the bacteria, it all cleared up. Imagine that.
Veterinarians utilize that. I read quite a few articles on it. The veterinarians are utilizing that for dogs and cats. Their gums get real bad because of the food type things that they're eating that's in the dog food and cat food. And I know that's very true as far as the veterinarians are concerned. You know, it's almost like, and this just kind of popped in my head right now, but, you know, it's almost, I've taken lactoferrin before and rubbed it on my gums, but I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good swisher.
Ah.
I think so. I think it's a good idea to swish it, and really until a person gets rid of the bad bacteria in their mouth, then they need to take quite a bit of lactoferrin.
So. Well, you know, I've been taking the lactoferrin ever since it came out, and I wasn't taking enough, and, you know, we all know that stress adds to the inflammation problem and everything, too, and that was a very stressful time for me. But now when I look back at this, this last year when they ran all these tests on me and found out that I'd had a couple of small strokes and that's when they located this aneurysm in my brain, they said one of my strokes was a while back. Well, I do remember when these lumps were appearing all over my body that I was afraid that it was finally coming to my face, and I seemed to kind of drool out the left side of my mouth. Not real bad, but it happens, and it still, to this day, does it. I think that inflammation is actually what caused that one of those little strokes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm being responsible for my own health, and maybe I'm self-diagnosing, but that it just all happened at the, you know, right at that time. So I do believe that we can take charge of our health. I do believe that we can reverse this. You know, I didn't mention to the doctor over, the neurologist over here, when he was amazed at my blood pressure coming down, and well, Karen wasn't on here for that call, but my blood pressure's way down, my cholesterol's down 26 points, and he was just amazed. But I, too, I've been doing that coconut oil swish for close to a month now. When Kathleen, I called Kathleen, and she read me out of her book, because, you know, parts of it, there's so many bacteria in our mouth. So in the morning, you know, I get up, I drink a little bit of water, because it's impossible to swish when your mouth is dry, and I use that coconut oil, and I swish for 20 minutes. I set a timer, and I swish for 20 minutes, and then it's after that that I go brush my teeth. And I think that that is, a very good help, along with all of our nutrition. And yes, when you read this article, Ruth, isn't it amazing, the vitamin D, and then we know about strengthening our immune system. Between Dr. Naidu and Dr. Blaylock, who else do we need? Because, you know, I think it's absolutely amazing.
I have a question, Mary Lou.
Okay.
Do you know, what is the theory of why this coconut milk or oil, coconut
it is,
oil,
it, yeah.
would have it make a difference in your mouth?
I'll send you a link to the video. Monty, did you happen to watch, or it isn't a video, it's a radio blurb. Did you happen to read that? I will do more research on that, Ruth, and I'll come back to the answer. Because I can't,
Kathleen,
I just don't remember it all.
This is Kathleen. One of the things that I read was, if you keep swishing that, it goes down in between your teeth and down into your gums, and it traps the toxins. And anywhere in your mouth, it traps the toxins, and that's why you have to spit it out, and not into the sink, but into a paper towel and then into the garbage, because you don't want to swallow the toxins again. It traps them, and the fat part of it, you know, just traps them and takes them out.
Oh.
And it gets in there like nothing else does.
When Dr. Naidu was here recently and was explaining lactoferrin, he had talked to us individually or personally and talked to us about the lactoferrin identifies the bad bacteria and opens the porins on their back and lets the antibiotics work. And so it gets rid of them. But now this time when he was here, he explained it in another different way. He said that they attract them, the lactoferrin somehow attracts and separates the bad bacteria. And so maybe it kind of gathers them up. I felt like there was herd and cattle in there. And somehow, and then gets rid of them, probably in the same way, then follows up with the porin in the back and gets rid of them. But that sounds kind of like what you're talking about. Somehow that coconut oil, it sounds like it's doing the same thing with the toxins. That's
right.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it does pull toxins. That is the one thing that that we definitely did read. And I was so impressed with the fact, too, that he wrote right back to me. And then it was like the day before I was going on vacation. In fact, he said that because I was getting I was already getting some kind of, well, I had the itchy ears and the itchy throat, and it was, I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't go away on vacation and be sick. We were going to be with other people. And so I asked him if he thought that would pass. Well, he suggested maybe, you know, if it was that severe that I wait till I got back. But I was so excited that it was doing something that I just decided, what the heck, I could have an itchy throat. I wasn't, you know, sick, so I did continue, and I'm glad I did. And I had two or three different flare-ups, and he said that that was not uncommon. And Monty, when Monty said thinking about swishing with lactoferrin, I wouldn't want to waste my lactoferrin like that, because I do believe that that lactoferrin, then it's going in the body and separating those, you know, like Kathleen said, we have to swish, and then spit it out. And that's when the bacteria is, there's the most bacteria is in our mouth when we first wake up in the morning, you know, when we first get up. And so, Kathleen, have you read that whole book yet?
No.
Okay.
What book are you talking about?
It's called, tell her what it's called. This is what started it all, and this is this Dr. Brian Fife, but he has also written a book called, Alzheimer's. Let me see, I had it up on my screen here last night. I tried to order it, and I couldn't remember my password. And then when I was looking at the book is when I realized that Dr. Blaylock actually wrote the foreword to it, and he said, this guy is right on.
Right on, and he's the head. He is, I think he's a naturopathic doctor and a chemist or nutritionist or something, and he's the head of the coconut, there's a
research
on using coconut, and he's written about 5 books, and I have most of them, and it's one is Cooking with Coconut Flour, and others are just how you use coconut in your life, inside your mouth, on your skin, you know, anywhere, and he's great.
Yeah, coconut oil and Alzheimer's disease. And that's what he recommended, that I get the book about the Alzheimer's, because he said that for the condition, for what I've got going on in my brain, I should follow that protocol that he suggests in that book. So I'll probably have more on that next week.
Is that where he talks about the swishing, mouth swishing?
No, it's a whole book.
It's a
book on swishing coconut for health or something like that. That must be the title. Gee, I had it here.
I did, too. You might know it's gone.
Yeah, somewhere else. But it's, if you got on to, it's Bruce Fife, F-I-F-E, and that's pretty recognizable by the bookstores.
Okay.
But it just says swishing coconut oil or something. It's the title of the one.
I was just looking at, just because I'm kind of obsessed with all of this, and I was reading that it says that 2012's the hot news item is coconut oil and Alzheimer's disease. It says this seems to be the year that the news about coconut oil and Alzheimer's starts making it into the mainstream media. It's not surprising as it coincides with news about the failure of the drugs in treating Alzheimer's. Is also making the headlines. And so just goes back to we've got to take charge, we've got to do our research, and we've got to take charge of our own health. The drugs are not the answer. And then the other thing, Ruth, I think maybe this was the part that you were reading about the majority of the body's immunity comes from the gut. Well, that's where I believe the lactoferrin is, you know, so fantastic. Is in our gut. I'm swishing with my coconut oil to get that junk out of my mouth, and then following up definitely with the lactoferrin. One thing I did see in the news last night too, and I hadn't thought of this. Maybe you guys did because you're all very smart. Poorly digested foods, you know, lead to allergies and intolerances. We know that, but it says. That the severe reactions, the leading food allergies include cow's milk, soy products, peanuts, chocolate, and grain products. Okay. Well, it took me a long time to realize, to truly believe that soy products were so bad, but I do believe they are. And I spotted last night that a lot of people that are having allergies are getting soy products in their eggs because their chickens are being fed soy products. So, how on earth are we going to get away from it? Ruth, do you have chickens running around your yard so that...
Maybe I'm about to.
Me too.
I think you should.
Sarah and I keep talking about it.
You better.
Maybe when John gets finished with his house, he can build us a chicken house.
Yep. And boy, yeah, you better do that because we can't get away from this stuff. Gee, it's been a good conversation. Everybody has been great about sharing today. But the one other thing I wanted to kind of close with is the dangers of these. It said that the saturated fats, and I think I said this last week, so maybe I do have this newsletter somewhere and I just can't find it. I had to print it off again last night. Saturated fats are not nearly as harmful as the omega-6 fats, which continue to be promoted by the health authorities. And those omega-6s are those the vegetable oils. So I have been, I mean, my cupboard is being, you know, replaced with coconut oil for sure, and red palm oil is another one, Dr. Blaylock. And Dr. Fife both talk about being healthy fats. So he said that there's a link between what we eat, our dental health, our vascular health, and inflammation, and our risk of neurological diseases. Several fats, such as the omega-6 vegetable oils and trans fats, are significantly inflammatory if eaten in excess. And the Western diet contains about 50 fold higher amounts of omega-6 fats than are allowable, and massive amounts of trans fats continue to contaminate processed foods despite labels that suggest that they've been removed.
Hmm. Mary Lou, now this doesn't include olive oil, does it?
No.
Okay.
But make sure you're getting a really pure, good olive oil. Some of the olive oils now are tainted as well, and I'll have to find that, where I found that article. So, the five worst foods for our brain, and I know none of us on this call eat any of these, but the five very worst foods for our brain are: number one, donuts; number two, fast food hamburgers; number three, potato chips and fries; number four, ice cream; and number five, high-fat processed cheese.
Right.
You are what you eat. And if we would just eat salmon or good, healthy fish one time a week, we would reduce that inflammation up to 60%. Don't ask me where I got that, but another one of these things that I've been listening to. It was from a doctor. I wouldn't have written it down.
Yeah, I just had those too.
You did?
Yeah, I had them on a list of 9 bad foods or something.
Oh, my gosh. And I have a list of 5.
I have more bad foods than you do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I wonder what the other 4 are. Well, anyway.
What was number 4, Mary Lou?
Number 4 was ice cream.
Thank you.
What was 5?
High-fat processed cheese.
Well, could you send me the list, please, Mary Lou?
Sure.
I'm going to send it to Matt.
Okay.
I love the cheese on it.
Right. That's right.
Can I tell you an experience I had this past week with my family? Oh, my gosh, you said ice cream. Well, you know, ice cream, I was raised on homemade ice cream when I was a child. And that was our big treat, and we only got it maybe once every 2 or 3 months. But anyway, our son-in-law made homemade ice cream while we were on this trip. And he said, "Now, I have not used any sugar." He used honey. And I thought, well, you know, I think I'll try that. And it really tasted good, but oh my goodness, I had a tummy ache like you wouldn't believe. Homemade ice cream. That's, now I know why it's bad news.
Wow.
And if it doesn't have sugar.
Probably a milk intolerance.
Here, it isn't Transparent Tuesday, it's Wednesday, but I guess it's about 7 months. 6 or 7 months out of the year, Larry and I, one Saturday a month, we play, it's called a couples putting event where we golf. And we go there early because they buy donuts for everybody. And so I think, you know, one donut a month is not going to kill me. And then the five worst foods for the brain is number one is donuts. So, you know, they've stopped now until next January, but I thought, oh, no, that one donut a month could kill me. So, anyway. And they're free, you know, because we pay, well, we pay $9 to play, and so I get my $9 donut. Oh, my gosh, funny.
Mary Lou, I want to tell you, you're just worth more than that.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Okay. I have one last question before we hang up and close. Has anybody on the call had a shingles shot?
Yes, I have.
I have.
Two of you have. Okay.
I got mine.
Anybody have any... the doctor said I should get one, and I'm kind of afraid to.
Well, the doctor told me all these terrible things that could happen if I had shingles, and so I went ahead and took it a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I didn't have any, I had no adverse effects that I know of.
Okay.
Did you ask him if it has aluminum or mercury in it?
I did not.
Nope.
I think
that might be a good idea, because that seems like that's a big part of the problem. Like right here in the same article, infections or vaccination can trigger brain inflammation and degeneration, especially in critical areas controlling memory, learning, language, and behavior. But somewhere it says that most things you read about vaccinations, he talks about vaccinations quite a bit in here, is because of the mercury. Oh, here it is right here. A number of factors can contribute to this brain inflaming disorder, such as exposure to mercury, aluminum, lead, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and repeated brain trauma, and repeated inflammation or vaccinations.
Okay, so I need to find out if it has aluminum or mercury in it. And I know that even on the flu shots, the media tried to tell us that there wasn't any in it, or very low dose or something. So I will ask.
We get a lot of mercury and
pardon
lead.
Pardon me?
We get a lot of mercury and lead strictly just due to air, to the environment.
Yeah, and our water.
We all got it in our bodies.
Yeah.
I guess what I had to weigh was understanding that, knowing about vaccines, I guess what I had took the vaccination was, I know two people that have had shingles, and it's something you don't want to have, so I guess I weighed that in regards to getting my vaccination.
I read this thing in here. It said that, I guess this is what jumped out at me this morning, is they were talking about the nicotine patches. And some years ago, a friend of mine wanted to try nicotine patches because he heard they might prevent Parkinson's disease. But after a week of using the patches, he developed a severe case of shingles. What happened? The nicotine in the patches suppressed his cellular immunity and allowed the normally dormant chickenpox virus in his spinal ganglia nerve cells to suddenly erupt along a nerve and spread throughout his body.
Ugh.
And,
if we yes? Our immune system up, wouldn't we avoid ever getting shingles? Kind of the theory I go by, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. The only reason he suggested, he said, you know, at my age, and then he asked if I'd ever had chickenpox, and when I had chickenpox, it was the worst case. I had it for the whole family. I am in my mouth and everything. And he said, you definitely should get a shot then, because you could end up with shingles. Well, I talked to a lady pharmacist quite a bit about it, but I didn't ask her about the aluminum mercury. So I walked out. I didn't get the shot. I thought, I'm going to ask my mentors here, my peer group.
Maybe we should ask Dr. Blaylock.
I think we should, and I think we should look up. A few years back, looked, and there was something quite simple that was told that it would take care of shingles if you got them. And I did. I have been reading Dr. Blaylock for years, and I wonder if it came from him. But
okay.
I'd like to look up what we could do naturally in case we did get shingles.
One of the, a couple of the things that make a difference when people have shingles is vitamin B, coats and nerve ends, and vitamin E. But I didn't hear what Nancy, I know Nancy does quite a bit of research, well, I think that was you, Nancy, that said something. I did not hear what you said.
Well, I've always been hearing that if we keep our immune system up, we don't have to worry about ever getting shingles. But that
okay.
may just be off hope, mm-hmm. I don't know. Because that's the way it attacks is when we are, our immune system is suppressed. But, Fred's mother
we'll work on that.
Fred's mother got shingles about 10 years ago, and they thought she was at the ER. They treated her as though she was having a heart attack because she kept saying, "It feels like there's a knife in my back." And so they missed that window. There's a window of time, and I'm not sure if it's 24-hour, where they can give you some drug, it's an injection, some drug that will keep it from getting really bad. But her case, since they missed that window of time, all these years she has had pain. She's still on Neurontin for pain.
Well, that's the problem with shingles, is it isn't something you get and a week later it's over with. When you get shingles, anywhere from three months to a year, you actually feel like you're on fire and severe pain, and even in some case, severe cases, your body even gets blisters all over it. So...
Yeah.
And I have read also that if you didn't have chicken pox, you probably won't get shingle. But if you've had chicken pox, you have the shingle virus within you, and just like cancer, it's just sitting there waiting to do whatever it is it needs to do. And whoever talked about the immune system is pretty much, I believe, right on, because the stronger your immune system would be, the more beneficial it would be to fight that actually happening. But it's not nothing you ever want to have, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Yeah, and see that's where we could
learn from Dr. Blaylock to find out what we can do in the natural realm to keep that from happening without going with the vaccine.
I think that would be really interesting because I know this lady who's been incapacitated for 3 or 4 months now. She hasn't been out. She's been confined to her home because she's so miserable. If she has shingles. I don't know how it started or anything like that.
I think that's the kind of things we need to weigh in our mind when we decide to do whatever we do, and that is, here again, it's involved in choices, so it's just another choice that we have to make in our life, whatever.
I would certainly consider if I had chicken pox like Mary Lou said she did, but I only had 2 chicken pox, so I wouldn't think I would.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I'm even considering it is because I do know that it is in there dormant, and if I got shingles as bad as I had chicken pox, oh my gosh. Another part of this newsletter of Dr. Blaylock's that would be wonderful for us to cover, and it has to be somebody smarter than me, is this shift about where he talks in here, Ruth, about how sometimes having a strong immune system, what I gathered when I was reading it is that, you know, we need to have some, if we have a strong immune system, maybe I read it wrong, but if our immune system is always strong or we never, ever, ever get sick, that later in life, that could be, you know, that's like a double-edged sword. Do you remember reading that?
I read that either in here or read it before. You mean because getting sick or a little bit sick, it said something about getting a little bit sick allows you to your immune system to stay active and to be strong. And if you're never sick, well, and then never get anything, well, then it's just sort of sitting there on the couch or something. He didn't say it like that, but it's not as strong as it would be as if you have something once in a while. Go catch yourself a cold once in a while.
Okay.
I don't know where that is. But I did read.
I see right here. It says especially if prolonged being under continuous. Oh, this is, has to do with stress, but it says. If you suppress your immunity, and it can actually increase one's risk of developing an uncontrolled infection or even cancer. But that has something to do with the stress, so we'll read that better and clear that up on the call, or somebody can. Several of us I know are getting this Blaylock report. I have to read it about 10 times. There is so much information in these. It's overwhelming.
I can't believe he can keep coming up with so much information.
I know.
Is he going to quit? Is he going to run out of information one of these years, or what?
I don't know. Okay. Well, we certainly. I appreciate these calls so much because everybody has so much to offer, and thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Too. Nancy, you told us last week about that vitamin K. Should be done with vitamin D3, right?
Well, since then, I've learned there's also a K1, K2, and K3. I've only heard about K2. Yep. I learned that from a nutritionist just yesterday.
What'd you find out? Can you?
I will ask her again what, what these other two are found in. Also, I'd like to add something back to that ice cream. I don't know if it was on this call that we learned that, or if I was watching something else. They put, not only does it have high fructose corn syrup in it, but they put shellac in it. Have you all heard that?
Yep. But that's not homemade. That's the one you get at the store. If it doesn't melt fast, it has no shellac.
Correct.
I'm sorry, what brand?
If it melts, if your ice cream melts fast, it has no shellac. But if it just sits there and lets you eat it for quite a while in the hot weather, you're probably having a little shellac with your ice cream.
Oh, my goodness.
Mine wasn't the nine foods that were bad. It was the nine ingredients that are in the food, remember? Because I had shellac on the jelly beans.
Oh, that's
right. Oh, I love it.
I'll have to bring that back.
Yep. Yes. Do that again.
And I'll bring that back tomorrow.
Okay. Go ahead, Nancy.
Also, if anyone has a problem with their nerve endings, along with the B6, alpha lipoic acid is very good for the anything having to do with our nerves and with pain, Those who suffer from carpal tunnel syndrome, there is a doctor, Jonathan Wright, who actually heals carpal tunnel by using large doses of alpha lipoic acid and B6. So keep that in mind. But they work together really well.
Okay.
Quick bit of information on omega-6s, Mary Lou.
Yeah?
You know where I got this information from. Coconut oil has 243 mg of omega-6s, no omega-3s. Olive oil has 1,316 mg of omega-6s and 103 mg of omega-3s in one tablespoon for each one of them.
Those are all milligrams.
Yeah, mg, whatever that is.
So it has a whole lot more omega-6 than omega-3.
Olive oil has more omega-6s in it than coconut oil. Olive oil has 1,316. Coconut oil only has 243. But in the omega-3s, olive oil has 103, and there are no omega-3s in coconut oil.
Okay, and it's a medium-chain fatty acid, correct?
Correct.
And
the one thing about coconut oil, I can't tell you the truth about it right now, but one has to be broken down by the liver, and I think that the coconut oil does not have to pass through the liver to be broken down.
Did you get this information from that oil therapy book that Dr. Fife has out available?
I might have got it from one of his books.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, we better get on our horses and,
yeah,
and get our work done today. This has been an excellent call. I love all this discussion.
I love the discussion, too. Well, everybody else. I mean, everybody. Thank you very much, everybody that's been talking up. I love the discussion calls because I think we can learn so much from each other. So, yeah, let's go out. We can change lives. Let's get out there and share our information with other people. Okay?
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Lou. Great call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate everybody. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.